you know you are doing God's will, God's way, is that you find yourself in a situation where unless God comes through, all hope is lost. Have you ever been in that situation? Completely backed into a corner where unless God comes through, you're done. Where you have no other options and all human hope is done. Have you ever been backed into a corner where if you have to do it on your own strength, you're going to fail? Or you're going to panic? But if God is in the corner with you, He and He alone is the God of the impossible. Our God is a God who shines the light on Himself in such a way that the only way it works out is if He accomplishes it. This is where our character of our story starts out today. We're going to be reading from Esther 4. And Esther was backed into a corner. And I'm going to set up the context for you guys before we read that, because it's quite a bit of a lengthy story. So King Xerxes, he has a wife, and her name is Queen Vashti, and she ticks him off quite a bit. She wants him to come and her to come and parade in front of all his friends at a party, and she says no way. So he actually ends up divorcing her soon after that. And he goes a long time without a wife, and he starts to realize, I want another queen. So him and his attendants go out and search the kingdom for girls to come in so that he can pick a queen from these new girls. And it was actually quite a long process. It took about 2 years of these girls being prepared and groomed and clothed and all that stuff to be the new queen. And at the end of it, the person that's chosen is this girl named Esther. And she is the niece of a man named Mordecai, a very godly man. And he instructs her to tell no one that she's a Jew. So she ends up being the new queen. And time goes on. And one of King Xerxes' highest officials, Haman, yep, becomes angry with the Jews. And he decides to have a plot against all of them to have them killed. When Mordecai learns of this, he starts to mourn outside the palace gate. The way they would mourn back then is they would sit in a public place, they would rip their clothes, they would pour ashes over their heads, and they would scream, and they would wail, and it was a very public display of sadness. And so he's doing this outside the palace gate, and Esther sees him. So she sends an attendant to find out what's wrong. And Mordecai reports back to her, and he tells her all this plot to, for their whole nation to be killed, all of the Jews. And that's where we're going to start today. So it's Esther 4, chapter 4, verses 10 to 16. So starting in verse 10. Then Esther instructed him, the servant, to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court, without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. Mordecai wanted her to go to the king to beg for the life of all the Jewish people. So the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception for this is if the king extends the gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think, because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai and Esther, this conversation, when I read this, I came up with three major points that I think is the theme of the entire message. So the first point, no guarantee. In verse 11, they be put to death unless the king extends his scepter to them. There's no guarantee she's going to make it out alive. There's no guarantee she's going to come out of this without scratches or without injury. And in verse 16, she just states it very plainly, if I perish, I perish. It's a very real risk, what she's about to do, to go out into the king's court. She's really putting her life on the line. The second thing I noticed is it's no accident. It's no accident that Esther is in this spot, that she has been placed here. Verse 14, and who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. God has placed her here, and she is meant to be in this place. And then thirdly, there's no question. There's no question that God will come through for his people. If you look back at Genesis chapter 15 to 17, you see the Abrahamic covenant where he promises Abraham that he will protect all of his descendants. So we know that God will come through, and Mordecai reminds him of this. So there's no question that God will come through. But one thing I also see is, as a Christian, I don't think there's any question that we're going to be tested in our faith. And I think this was a major test that Esther came upon. So that's three things. No guarantee, no accidents, and no question. When I read this story this week, I was preparing for this sermon, and I immediately thought of this missionary that I met when I was 7 years old. It's the first real solid memory I have of a real missionary. And he and his family serve in Indonesia in a province called Irian Jaya. And I just thought he was so cool. He came to our church. He was doing a couple months in Canada with the churches that support him financially, and him and his family, and with prayer. And I just thought he was awesome. He was telling all these stories about running through the jungle barefoot, and how you couldn't even buy Coca-Cola there. And just ministering to like all these tribes people and helping them build a church where they could worship God. And I just thought, man, this guy is awesome. And I remember going home and just going on and on to my mom, man, this guy is so cool. His name was Buzz Maxey. His real name is actually Michael, but he goes by Buzz. I don't know why. It's just... and I was like, Mom, Buzz is so cool. I think he's awesome. And then I added, but I'm never going to be a missionary. Because my first thought was, I don't want to run through the jungle in bare feet and have this hair, and something's probably going to run in there and make a nest. And I just, no. But one thing that's always stuck to me, and it was the main story he told when he did his sermon. He was in Irian Jaya. His parents had been missionaries there years before too, so this was actually about 50 years into mission work, his family, in this one section of Irian Jaya. And he found out that there was going to be a war between these two tribes. And in that area, there is a lot of severe tribal warfare. And so he ran, and he got in this helicopter with the organization that he serves with. And him and this pilot took off and got to this spot where they were going to fight. And it was this big meadow, and you could see on one side there was the tribe, and they had their spears and their shields and everything there ready to go. And on the other side, there's the other tribe, same thing. And then there was this open space in the middle. And Buzz said to the pilot, you need to land in the middle. And the pilot said, no way. If we go down there, we're going to die. And it was a very real possibility that, you know, either someone could get confused and kill them, or they could just get caught in the crossfire. Death was very real. Anyway, Buzz convinced him to land in the middle. And Buzz stepped out of the helicopter, and he held out his hands like this. And there was a pause, and then both sides laid down their spears. And then Buzz went back and forth negotiating between two sides. And that day no one died and no war was started. And I truly, truly believe that God was in that, and that God planted him there that day to stop that war from happening. And I'm sure there's many, many more other stories as to why Buzz is there. But it's just a cool story, and it always reminds me when I read the story of Esther how death was on the line, and it didn't stop them from going forth. I came across this quote from some reading that I've been doing that Andale has given me. It's by Francis Chan, and he says, I want people to look at my life and know that I couldn't be doing this by my own power. I want to live in such a way that I am desperate for God to come through. That if he doesn't come through, I'm screwed. I know I probably shouldn't use that word in a sermon, but I thought it's Francis Chan, so it's fine. Yeah. I want people to look at my life and know that I couldn't be doing this by my own power. I want to live in such a way that I am desperate for God to come through. That if he doesn't come through, I'm screwed. So what can we learn from this? I'm going to take you back to the 3 points that we talked about earlier. There is no guarantee. God has divine purposes to accomplish in this world, and there is no guarantee as a Christ follower that you are going to come out alive or unscratched. The two stories I used today, if you keep reading in Esther, you'll know she comes out okay. And Buzz came out okay that time. But I always like to point people to someone like the Apostle Paul, who spent his life suffering for Christ. And it wasn't just one time. It was throughout his lifetime. The second point is no accidents. God will use any one of his believers to accomplish anything he wishes. It's not an accident that you are put in certain situations where your faith is going to be tested. It was not an accident that Esther was a Jew and that she was made queen. It is not an accident that Buzz's parents went there 60 years ago to start missions. And there's no question that God will accomplish his purposes whether his servants obey his will or not, because it's his will. And what I would encourage you to do is hop on the ride. Don't become part of the problem, because he wants to accomplish his will, so let's do it with him. So I'm going to read the passage again with you guys. So it's Esther 4. Verses 10 to 16. Then she instructed him, the servant, to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that he be put to death. The only exception to this is for the king to extend his gold scepter to him and spare his life. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to such a royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, and even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." The question to me is not, is God in control of this world, but is God in control of my life? Are you planning on coming along for the ride or being part of the problem? God is going to place you as a Christ follower in certain situations in your life and call you to follow his will. There is no guarantee you will get out without scratches. It's not an accident that he put you there. And there is no question that he is perfectly capable of doing it without us. But he wants to use you. This is an awesome blessing because he wants to use us. He doesn't have to. Are you going to come along for the ride? Or are you going to be part of the problem? Esther had the option to be part of the problem. She had the option to not go to the king, to not say anything. God would have saved the Jews. But he wanted to use her. Buzz didn't have to land in the middle of that field. But they chose, these two people, full of the Holy Spirit, to put their lives on the line for the one true God. And he came through as he always does and he always will. Next time you're backed into a corner or in a bad situation, what are you going to do? You're going to try to rely on your own strength or allow God to take over? Charles Stanley says, one of the ways you know you are doing God's will, God's way, is that you find yourself in a situation where unless God comes through, all hope is lost. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you that you use us, even though you don't have to. Thank you for the amazing blessing it is that we are your children. We want to ask you to have full control over our lives and that you place us in situations where unless you come through, all hope is lost. Give us the courage we need to surrender to you and that ultimately your name will be glorified. We love you. Amen.